better than this. Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino, Kyle Krabs, and Chris Schubert from the Draft Network. And we are your hosts here on this Monday episode of the show. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Kyle, happy Monday to you. Our first Monday after the draft. I'm not true about that. It's the second Monday after the draft.
And you know, the last week's been a blur. So yeah, it's an understandable, forgivable offense.
It's like the first Monday after the draft of not having the draft in that week.
Right. And so it feels like this is the first week of like our reset, right? Because we've been so wrapped in over the last week.
Thank you.
In writing these draft class recaps for TDN.
Yep.
And going pick by pick, really in-depth analysis. It's part of the TDN premium experience. And each one of the scouting staff team is working through their pro assignments. And today's the last one. Thank goodness gracious. I got Baltimore today. I don't know who you have.
Panthers.
Of course they gave you Panthers at the very end. I did Washington football team yesterday, by the way. I like what they're cooking with. I like it a lot. I like the direction of that team. You know, obviously, you know, not going to give away too much of the premium content here, but at the same time, them signing William Jackson and then drafting St. Just there at 74 to get into more of that Jack Del Rio press man instead of they ran zone coverage on 64% of their defensive snaps last year. So understanding what Del Rio's tendencies are versus what Ron's tendencies are and seeing them kind of transition and segue away from what Ron has traditionally done and get more of the personnel that's going to fit what Del Rio wants to do is kind of like a fun subplot to that defense with all the talent they have in the front seven.
I want to thank you for digging me out of that hole because Chris was wanting to bury me further. If you saw his eyes, he was not picking up any of it. So Kyle came to my rescue there. Yeah. I know Chris has got some housekeeping he needs to take care of here real quick.
I do. As you guys know, last Thursday on our live stream, we gave away the jersey. The jersey giveaway contest was announced on Thursday, and we announced the winner there, but we've recorded the Friday pod before that show, so we didn't get to put it in the Friday pod, and the person who's won has still not reached out to us yet, so we figured we'd use the Monday platform, since they have until the live stream is over tonight on Monday, to mention this person here, give them another opportunity, because maybe they didn't catch the live stream, so they didn't see it. So here we are announcing once again, Stone 29081914 08 was the winner of the jersey contest. You have until tonight. The live stream is concluded. At the end of the live stream, if we have not heard from you, we're doing a redraw. So we figured we would use the Monday pod to give this person one last opportunity to get in contact with us so they can get hooked up with their rookie jersey.
Chris@thedraftnetwork.com, email.
You can email me. You can tweet me at Shoe Radio. You can slide into the DMs there. You can talk to any of us. Yeah, however this person wants to do this, okay. All of those things are available. But yes, if they want to go, email Chris@thedraftnetwork.com.
Terrific. Okay.
Yep.
Any other housekeeping items?
I think that's it. Kyle's just living his best life here on a Monday. Absolutely living his best life. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to let the listeners imagine what it looks like. But Kyle's living his best life here on the Monday show.
Well, I'm not really anymore because it is starting to rain out here. I can see the stars above my head, and yet it is still magically sprinkling raindrops down. Joe, I tell you, this happens every time I do this activity I'm doing out here on my deck.
When I was out on your deck recording the podcast on Sleepers, it also sprinkled on me.
Yep.
So it's cursed. I don't know what to say, but all right. So here we are. It is AFC South day here on the podcast.
Man,
so
we were almost off the rails on two lead-ins from Joe on the same show. He saved it though.
Scattered, brother. Texans, Colts, Jaguars, and Titans here.
Well, this is a small list here, ain't it?
It is, you know, and the Texans, we'll start with them.
Alphabetical.
Yep. Alphabetical. They had their 2 third round picks. Quarterback Davis Mills, the first pick of the Nick Easterby era of Houston Texans football. Davis Mills, quarterback Stanford. Nico Collins, a receiver from Michigan. Brevin Jordan fell to them, 147 overall, the tight end from Miami. Garrett Wallow, they traded up for this guy, right? Linebacker from TCU, they moved up for him. And they closed things out with Roy Lopez from Arizona, defensive tackle.
Jack Easterby Joe. I'm just,
well, no, I was wondering if he did that intentionally. Because you know how they say it's like the so-and-so, like...
Oh, Nick Caserio. Combine, okay,
yeah, combine
all right.
Two names.
That's exactly
together.
What I did. I combined that was now. Nick nope. Caserio and Jack Easterby. Oh, boy.
Oh, Joe
carry
had
us
long...
today, Kyle. Carry
Joe,
us, sir.
Joe had a long Mother's Day today.
You I had a long day before Mother's Day as well. We put on a big
oh,
party.
The banger. I saw
we
the
did.
Fridge
brother,
on Instagram.
Brother, it lived up to expectations. And you want to talk about how much work it goes to set up like a big party? It's a lot of work. I had 20,000 steps in by the time the party started at 6 o'clock. And then the
by
party
the time
went
the
to,
party started.
Yeah. So the party went till
oh,
six.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
From 6 to 1:30 a.m. Your boy consumed. He didn't sleep. Been Mother's Day all day. And here we are. So if I'm not as sharp as I usually am, that's why.
Well, let's talk about this Houston Texans draft class. And Joe, I guess the thing that I'm most curious about is we both relatively like Davis Mills, right? We gave Davis Mills an early fourth round evaluation. They got him at the beginning of the third round. You get into positional value, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's an understandable evaluation of a player. But if you're the Houston Texans and you're effectively starting your draft class from scratch, you're starting your organization from scratch because you've signed 30 plus free agents this year. Deshaun Watson will not play football for you again, regardless of what happens to him and his legal issues off the field. He'd already expressed, I don't want to play for you anymore. And that appeared to be moving in a direction in which there was going to be a split. They brought in Tyrod Taylor. They brought in Ryan Finley. So they brought in three quarterbacks in a single offseason. Does this pick, like, is this a good investment to kind of say, hey, you know, Davis Mills is going to be, whether it's fair or not, the face of our draft class because he's the first pick we made as a quarterback when you've already brought in a bridge, you brought in a young guy, you're probably not going to tie yourself to Davis Mills long term. And assuming Deshaun Watson down the road is eligible to play football again and he is traded, you're probably going to have assets available to you in a scenario like that, in which you can go get a premium prospect at the quarterback position instead of, I don't want to say an also ran, but he was like QB 7 or QB 8. Like I can't recall off the top of my head if Mond went right in front of him or right behind him, but like that kind of lost me a little bit with their draft strategy.
If I had to defend it, this is what I would say. Is that this team feels like a franchise team again. I mean, literally, with the way this roster looks and how many new players have been added to it.
They signed my guy Neville Hewitt, though.
They did, and that's one of your brand guys from 2014, 15.
He's still hanging on, brother.
Yep. So
he's productive for the Jets.
Right. Yeah, they were down to that point where, he was pretty good.
Hey, be nice.
Listen, so if I have to defend the Davis Mills pick, it's that their first selection came at 67 overall, and they have a million different free agents that they've added to this roster. And while I'm not going to act like there's not other players at other positions that I think could have mattered more for the Houston Texans, if they were to take a modest investment to try to find this lightning in a bottle overachiever quarterback, it's not that bad of an idea. There's no real risk with it. And we know Tyrod Taylor's not going to be the long-term answer there. I promise you Ryan Finley's not going to be the long-term answer there.
Correct.
The best chance that they have at the long-term answer at quarterback is now Davis Mills. And so from that perspective, on a team with very low expectations, with a quarterback coach and David Culley, yeah, I mean, that's how I would defend it. Although I wouldn't have done it.
Right. I personally, and I think you would agree, would have been more keen on just let's try and pick the best football players that we can get our hands on here and not worry about the quarterback. But like, I guess from Cully's perspective, and it's probably a collaborative effort, right? It's like, hey man, I waited my whole career to get a head coaching gig. Like I need to feel as though I've got a quarterback I can win with. And whether that's Tyrod Taylor or it's not Tyrod Taylor, I think this tells you that, you know, they'd like to have another option in the building. But he was QB8, Davis or Kellen Mond with the pick before him as well.
I think you summed it up well with your comment there. The Houston Texans are worried about the quarterback position, and they should be. And this to me is a signal that that's the way they feel. You know, and third round, I mean, when I think third round, I think developmental starter. I think you're picking a player that you think within a year or so can be a starter for your football team.
But with how bad this team is going to be, and I guess that's the root of my issue here, is like,
yeah,
we got to worry about long-term stability for this coaching staff, right? Like, this might be really, really ugly.
Right. Chris, are you a Jim Tom Sula, or are you going to, you know, are you going to be a thing for Houston for a while? Right. What you got, Chris?
Can I tell you the other thing that the issue that I have with this pick? Do we assume that Houston's going to be good next season? No, right? We assume that they're going to probably be a pretty bad football team, which in turn means they're probably going to be picking at the top portion of the draft next season.
They're going to pick another quarterback.
So you're either going to pick another quarterback with your top pick in 2022's draft, or you're going to pass on the crop of quarterbacks because you took Davis Mills, which is why this pick makes zero sense.
Okay.
Maybe you can flip. If he shows some level of promise, you pick number one. There's a consensus number one prospect. You flip him for something. I mean, is that your best play here for Houston?
You're going to bring him in for a year. He's probably not going to play because he's not ready. And then you're going to take an L on the draft capital that you sent him away for.
All right. There's nothing to defend here. It was a bad pick.
Okay. So Nico Collins, I like a lot. Yeah. I like that selection. We had him on the consensus rankings at 62, and we understand our rankings are not the be-all, end-all or anything like that, but we had him as a fringe second-round type prospect, and his athletic profile is off the charts. He had a good showing at the Senior Bowl, right? And it's really – I think he's one of those receivers who's going to be a better pro than he was college player because of the situation. Now, of course, we have to worry about the situation in Houston and how volatile that may or may not be offensively. But Collins has plenty of potential. That's the right kind of dice roll I'm looking to take. If I'm Houston, I want to take really good athletes. I want to take, you know, just players I think can develop into good football players down the road. Brevin Jordan is another good example of, even though, like, I don't know how I feel about like an H tight end for this team with everything that they need. But at 147, how are you possibly going to complain about the value at that pick, right?
Right.
Garrett Wallow trading up for they traded Bernardrick McKinney, so like you need some help at linebacker. I get it. And then Roy Lopez was, you know, just I guess a flyer. They feel he can be an early down rotational depth player. It's about as rosy of a projection as I can come up with for Roy Lopez.
They didn't have much to work with. So
they did not.
Yeah. We have to keep that in mind. Bill O'Brien trades are, they've now paid up, right? All of them. So they can be fresh going forward. And you know, I don't think this is going to be a difference making class. It's not a foundational class for this football team, but they didn't have much to work with. And obviously I think they got to get by this year and start to get excited about 2022.
If you want to get excited about something and this Houston draft class doesn't do it for you, Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle for all football fans across America. You can get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T by texting draft to 231231. This unique man boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy levels and lean muscle mass. Plus, if you text now, they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231231. That's DRAFT to 231231. Message and data rates may apply. Something else you can get excited about if the Houston Texans draft class does not do it for you: little gambling action. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Baseball season is in full swing, pun completely intended here, and you could track all of the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, playoffs right around the corner, NHL, UFC. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Shifting gears to the Indianapolis Colts, Joe.
Yeesh.
This is another interesting draft class. It's another short draft class. They only made six picks, which is very uncharacteristic of a Chris Ballard draft, right? Like they traditionally looking to trade down, and how they choose to use their players or use their picks for players here. They drafted Kwity Paye at 21 overall. They got Deo Odeningbo at 54 overall. He tore his Achilles in the pre-draft process, so we're probably not going to see him play this year. Fourth round at 127, Kylan Granson, tight end from SMU. I believe Frank Reich said he was really excited about Granson and anticipates he's going to play. You know, I believe I read that was a Reich pound the table type of selection for this draft class. 165 in the fifth round, Sean Davis, the safety out of Florida. And in the seventh round, they had two picks, 218 quarterback Sam Ellinger. Obviously, thoughts and prayers to the Ellinger family. The terrible news that came through last week about his brother is just absolutely heartbreaking and awful. And then at 229, Michael Strachan from Charleston, a small school prospect, but really interesting big body type of guy. So that's the entirety of their draft class, Joe. And for a team that is kind of, we feel like on the doorstep of a little something here, obviously you'd be remiss to not mention Carson Wentz when talking about this draft class, because they traded the third round pick in this year's class to, as part of the package, as well as a conditional 2/1 next year for Carson Wentz. But I'm just kind of curious how we feel about the impact that this year's class is going to have on the Indianapolis Colts in 2021, when like, they're looking to get over the hill.
Yep.
And, you know, as promising as Carson Wentz has been in the past, he was not good last year. He's coming into a new offense. He's obviously reuniting with Frank Reich, which should help. But they use edge defenders for each of their first two picks, including one who has a torn Achilles.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, nothing matters more this year for the Colts than Carson Wentz finding himself and finding his game and being a franchise quarterback. That matters more than anything. But when you look at this draft, you kind of went into this thing and thought, well, need to find a left tackle with Anthony Costanzo retiring. Needed an edge for sure. You definitely needed a pass rusher. Can make a case for corner as a premium need. You can make a case for wide receiver as being a really critical need for this football team. And then you look at how they invested their draft capital, and it definitely wasn't this deliberate attempt to find answers for all of those questions. They definitely prioritized pass rusher. Kwity Paye was the pick in the first round, and I like Paye a lot. He was my edge one. I think he's going to be a good player for them, a good culture fit. I mean, he's one of those cornerstones of the franchise type players. But then at no point did you see them address that left tackle thing. I knew that they were interested in Dylan Raduns, who went right before their pick, but it felt like that Adeniego, I can't say his name. Adeniego.
Odeningbo, yes.
Deo, right? Like they lost to Nico Autry in the offseason.
You pulled that on the draft stream too. Just called him Deo.
Deo, right. I can say that. They wanted that Nico Autry replacement, and they got that in him. But, mm-hmm. you know, what's his availability going to be this year? Man, they've kind of taken some chances on injured guys, you know, like Kamoko Touré, and he's not been able to stay healthy. He's flashy when he's in there, but he hasn't been reliable. So I don't know that Chris Ballard came away from this draft with me thinking he invested his picks to really answer the questions that I had about his football team entering this draft. Obviously, Carson Wentz finds his game. That changes everything. But I'm worried about some of the holes on this Colts football team.
I think one thing that we can probably expect from the Colts, now that the window for compensatory pick calculations has come and gone, and we're beyond those calculations, is this team probably being a little active in free agency with the second wave. There's plenty of talented vets that are still out there, and there got to be guys that sign 1-year deals, short term, probably low cost. They'll probably kick the tires on an offensive tackle. They've got Julian Davenport in the building as well. But that's really, you know, if it's going to be a right tackle, there's been a conversation about, could Braden Smith kick over and play left tackle? Cause he has the right tackle now. Just find another tackle, right? Like sign a tackle. They've had some success with Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox, but the point of emphasis being Kylan Granson. Like right now, Kylan Granson is going to be the most impactful offensive rookie on this team. So I think they're going to have to bridge the gap a little bit with some veteran players in free agency. And, you know, they've been very, very good and deliberate about managing their salary cap. They've been sitting on a, for lack of better phrasing, poop ton of Chris, that way you don't have to cut it, of draft or of salary cap for what, three seasons now. And they just do not go all in on the cap. They refuse to do it. And I think that will set them up for plenty of continued flexibility. But that's going to be how they have to kind of address these needs the rest of the way. And it seemed like at least the first two picks here are best players available. Kwity Paye is a great coincidence that he plays a position of need for him. We had him 12 on the consensus board. He was my edge two, but he was like ninth overall on my personal board. So like, we love Kwity Paye. We think he's going to be a slam dunk for them too. But the rest of this draft class, it's just kind of like, okay, like y'all are just going to run it back and hope that Carson Wentz is enough to, of an improvement over what Phillip Rivers was last year to push you guys over the top.
Colts have $22.3 million in cap space for this season still remaining. And looking at 2022, they currently top the charts with $87.5 million.
Of course
just
they
to,
do.
Just
of
to
course.
Emphasize the point that you just made, Kyle.
And there's, that's the sixth most in the NFL right now. And it's interesting. They're like, they're in the bottom half of the league when it comes to active cap spending. So they have been resourceful and cautious to an extent when it comes to investing these free agent dollars. I think they care a lot about rollover cap space. And I think they do care about the compensatory pick formula, which reduces the sample size of players that, you know, you're going to be able to bring onto your football team. So I don't think they want Sam Tevi at left tackle. You know what I mean? Like, or Julian Davenport. To me, if you have that type of situation, you kind of ruin what you have in Quentin Nelson, because now he's a really important bumper for that left tackle. So
how exciting is it for Indianapolis though, that their cap situation is what it is whilst trading for and giving DeForest Buckner a monster contract last offseason and bringing Carson Wentz, a new quarterback, into the fray?
They have to feel good about it. Now, like at some point though, you have to be like, all right, our window is open. We want to maximize it. Let's be aggressive. Well,
and I remember that was what Ballard kept saying in the pre-draft buildup this year. He says, the moment I take a quarterback, y'all are going to put me on the clock and you guys are going to start the clock. So, you know, the team building strategy with Ballard is really fascinating to see how he's choosing to not compromise his pillars of team building, but still trying to address those positions. But, they're going to have really big performances in a positive way from the headliners that they did bring in both Paye and Wentz for this thing to work.
Want to move to the Jaguars?
The Jaguars. Let's do it.
They made a lot of picks. You want the rundown?
Yeah. You give me the rundown. I'm going to give all you right. some redemption after our start today.
Oh boy. Let's hope I don't blow it here. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson, number one. At 25, they took his backfield mate at Clemson, running back Travis Etienne. 33 overall, Tyson Campbell, the corner from Georgia. 45 overall, offensive tackle Walker Little from Stanford. 65 overall, safety Andre Sisco from Syracuse. 106, interior defensive lineman Jay Tufele from USC. 121, edge rusher Jordan Smith from UAB. 145, tight end Luke Farrell from Ohio State. We were all wondering which Buckeye Urban Meyer was going to bring in. It winds up being Luke Farrell. And then at 209, wide receiver Jalen Camp from Georgia Tech.
So I seem to recall getting a nasty gram on this podcast about why James Robinson was one of the most productive backs out of shotgun. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know, they took Travis Etienne at 25, Joe, because when you're going to run the gun and you're going to replicate the Clemson offense and the concepts that Trevor Lawrence has had so much success with, you're going to want a guy with a little bit of juice. Lo and behold. And here they are. They make this pick at 25. It was going to be Kadarius Toney, but the Giants picked him at 20. So this was their next best option. Really fascinated to see how he plays into the cards and what the impact is going to be for James Robinson as a UDFA last year. One of the he's the biannual 1,000-yard UDFA rusher, right? So I would imagine this is quite the indictment on their evaluation of Robinson as a viable, you know, featured piece of the offense, and that they would draft Travis Etienne. But I think the fit here, when you start taking into account Trevor Lawrence, and they got Chark as a vertical big body guy, and they've got Laviska Shenault as a guy who can make some plays in all levels of the field as a multi-tool guy. And then you put Etienne in the backfield, kind of has the feel of a college spread offense, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yes.
Especially with that offensive line, with those big, like, physical, powerful offensive linemen. That's kind of what these teams want, right? We want to run spread, and then we're going to smash you in the mouth with these big dudes up front. Like, that's definitely the vision for this offense.
So excited to see how that all materializes. But another interesting pick at 33 with Tyson Campbell, when you take into account they signed Shaq Griffin in free agency, they draft Tyson Campbell at 33. They used a top 10 pick last year on CJ Henderson.
Yep.
This pick tells you a little something about CJ Henderson and their evaluation of CJ Henderson as well.
It does. Do you think they view one of these guys as a slot? I don't think Griffin or Campbell is that.
Right. And I don't think Henderson's that either.
It's right. It's extremely weird from that perspective. Yeah, so that's
this is the price you pay.
Right, because you're a team. Right.
Yep. They nobody in the building picked CJ Henderson in the top 10 last year. And they don't care. Nor should they care. They said, You hired us to run the team. Right. We're going to build the team in our vision. I'm sorry that you picked that guy in the top 10, but you know, if we feel like we need more players that are going to be able to contribute immediately, or we feel are better long-term projections for what we want to do, we're going to take those guys. And this is, you see this, you know, CJ Henderson may be a bit of collateral in the long-term. If Tyson Campbell ends up working out and Shaq Griffin plays to the talent level in which we think he's capable of, this may be collateral of the regime change here in Jacksonville.
Dare I say this Jacksonville Jaguars roster looks pretty decent. Like I survey it and I don't come away saying, man, they're really weak there. Or they don't have at least a couple of interesting options at every single spot. Maybe tight end. You wish they had more of a threat there, but we know Urban Meyer, he doesn't throw the ball to tight ends. You know, these guys are blockers and that's what he has. Chris Manhertz might be the best blocking tight end of the game. Right. And they signed him, and they drafted Luke Farrell, who was one of the better blocking tight ends in the draft class. So I don't know, man. I look at this depth chart up and down, and maybe I don't see superstars all over the place, but I see a NFL starting worthy player pretty much everywhere. And I don't know that in year one under Urban Meyer with a rookie quarterback that they're going to make a deep run, right? But I don't think this is going to be a team that's a pushover. They're going to be a tough football team this year.
No, and I think the energy that's going to be brought to that organization from this staff, regardless of how quote unquote pro ready it is or what that transition is going to look like, I definitely think this is a team that might surprise and just be like a team that probably doesn't win a ton of games, but they're going to be a pain in the butt every single week. And you're not going to want to catch them at a bad time, whether you have somebody critical who's injured or anything like that, because, they're going to play hard. And like you said, like this roster is not bad. I wouldn't dare say right now it's good, but you know, I thought they brought in some talent. The Walker Little pick is a bet on traits and five-star recruits. And that was kind of one of the talking points when we were doing the live stream that we kind of kept coming back to, was like, man, like these college coaches, they see these five-star recruits that they know. And like, that's how Walker Little ends up being a top 50 pick despite all the injuries that he's had.
Right. Right. I mean, I think if there is some criticism to extend to this draft class, it is that they had a pick at 25, 33, 45, and 65, and they came away with a running back in the first round. It took a very, very much a project corner in Tyson Campbell. I know he's got all the traits in the world, but I think it's fair to watch his tape and realize that he's not a very polished technician and that he needs some work there. Walker Little hasn't played football in the last 2 years. And Andre Sisco's coming off of an injury, and he's very much a very aggressive safety that is willing to
in coverage.
Yeah. In coverage. Yeah. And he's willing to play the game a little bit. So, you know, I think if you want to have some concern here, it's like, did you maximize that stretch of picks? Time will tell, but I think that's where my concern comes from this class. But overall, I think the way I feel about Jacksonville today versus the way I felt about them, even when they announced the hiring of Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like my perception is changing in a positive way for them.
Yep. I definitely think this is moving in the right direction. And shout out to Jacksonville. Jalen Camp, the only player in this division of draft classes that we didn't have a formal write-up on.
Sorry,
I know that guys. I know that burned you up when they made that pick because we know Jalen Camp, right? Yep. Really good athletic testing. He put up like 30 on the bench press, but we didn't have the full write-up. So it was kind of like that collective groan of like, oh, another one of these guys that we know, we talked about, we had eyes on him. We didn't have the full write-up. So that's kind of the fun challenge that we have had as a group. And I would like to call that out, Joe, as far as the growth that we've had, because I think it's something to be proud of for the draftable or the drafted players, including specialists. We had write-ups on 93% this year, which is a good number. We strive for 100. And it's even more frustrating to know guys like Jalen Camp, some of the Big Ten guys the other Kentucky defensive tackle who got drafted that we talked about at the end of the week last week that like, these guys, we know who they are. You run out of time. There's only so much time to write guys and you try to prioritize the best possible guys. So some of those guys we just missed on, but one thing you cannot miss is the phenomenal world-class first round pick Protein Bar at Built Bar. We remind you guys all the time about how great Built Bar is, the delicious protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Right now, 9 delicious flavors available. I did see strawberry was back over the weekend. I believe they sold out. They said they teased that as only having a couple of days to get those orders in. But whether you're looking for something to grab and go, something for breakfast, something post-workout, something keto friendly, you like eating delicious things, Built Bar is going to be able to be that for you. You can visit BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and save 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. These things have high protein, low calories, low sugar, high fiber. They're good for you. They taste delicious. It's a no-brainer. So visit BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and save 15% on your next order. The Tennessee Titans, the team who had the most losses this offseason as far as talent leaving in this division.
Stop. The AFC or the Titans were the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, right, Kyle?
Yes, that's correct.
How many of those 22 starters
game are still not aware on the team? I'm not aware of this answer, but I'm going to try and think through it.
I did my Titans in-depth recap. I think it posted on Sunday. So
I didn't read. I didn't read it. So I'm the goose here. Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Taylor Lewan. Joe, get a drink, man. Jeez
Louise. I've got a drink, man. I'm struggling.
I'm the one with the cigar in my mouth right now. What the hell's going on?
I'm just trying to get rehydrated and get through this
air.
Last segment.
Joe's battling through today's show. It's a battle. Man. It's a constant battle for the last half an hour.
He's like a leaky balloon. He mutes his mic and just coughs every 5 seconds.
Well, it's funny because on Friday's edition, everybody was asking of like, how were we not laughing when Kyle was singing? Right. And like, everybody wonders what happens. There's a lot of muting that goes on in which things just occur in the background.
He's coughing.
He's
again.
Doing it again.
He's coughing.
There are just
again.
Things that occur in the background that don't make it to the final product.
Joe, do you have something caught in the back of your throat? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I do. It's like,
go eat a Built Bar.
I had steak for dinner, you know what I mean? It feels like it's just there, like I haven't quite...
A sweet, savory Built Bar would just push whatever that morsel is in the back of your throat right down, clear you right up.
All right, so how many starters from the 2019 season?
I was going to try and work through it, but we've lost all that time to the Built Bar, so I'm going to say 8, yes.
Okay, 11, so half of the team. Half the team and both coordinators are gone. from the team that went to the AFC Championship game 2 years ago.
So let's go through what they got, and then let's talk about how those fit amongst what's been lost. 22, they got Caleb Farley, who, injuries aside, probably would have been our top-rated corner at TDN. Dylan Raduns at 53 overall. Linebacker Monty Rice from Georgia at 92. Cornerback Elijah Molden from Washington at 100. Wide receiver Dez Fitzpatrick at 109 from Louisville. Defensive end Rashad Weaver from Pittsburgh at 135. I know he's had some legal issues that have rose up from an incident that I believe was from the beginning of April already since the draft. Wide receiver Racy McMath from LSU at 205. And defensive back Brady Breeze from Oregon at 215.
So obviously Caleb Farley, to me, is a top 10 talent in this class, I think, for everyone on our staff. But the injuries kind of pushed him down the board. So we know that John Robinson is not afraid to take swings on guys with injuries. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons worked out for them. But this is the latest example of that. And so they need it. They really reset the depth chart at corner this offseason. They said goodbye to Odoree Jackson, Desmond King, and Malcolm Butler. And so they needed to get a plus value here to reinvigorate this cornerback depth chart. The right tackle thing's been a problem. Isaiah Wilson flopped in a big way, and Dennis Kelly's no longer in the mix. They needed that right tackle. So enter Dylan Raduns. At linebacker, both Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown, they're entering contract years. It's unlikely they're going to be able to bring both of them back. Monty Rice helps them get ahead of the curve there because he'll probably have to start for them next year. They needed a slot corner. Elijah Molden is here. He can replace Desmond King. And then I think with the Fitzpatrick and Weaver picks, you know, you have Des Fitzpatrick, who I think has been a good player for Louisville with bad quarterback play. He was really good with Lamar Jackson in 2017. But since then, it's been very erratic at the quarterback position. But whenever I watch Fitzpatrick play, I said, this guy's a pro. I like his chance to step into this room and become, in time, like a top three receiver for this football team. They've been needing an answer opposite of Harold Landry. At edge, they brought in Bud Dupree to hopefully be that. And the challenge now is that Harold Landry is a free agent after this year. And so Weaver helps them get ahead of that. And McMath and Breeze are not necessarily going to help them on offense or defense, but those are plus special teams players in college. Like, you can definitely look at each one of these picks from John Robinson and say, I know why you made the pick. It's good value. And there's a lot of logic. The challenge is kind of fitting this together and continuing to say, yeah, we deserve to be mentioned among the best teams in the AFC. We can get back to the AFC Championship game. Is this class going to be able to do that for them right now?
Well, one thing that you know about John Robinson, too, is he's going to draft for need, right? That's been something that we have seen last year. The Isaiah Wilson pick was strictly a need pick for them, despite some of the red flags that were there and existing with him. I think Raduns is maybe not the same stylistic ideal fit like what Isaiah Wilson was. It's kind of that mauler up front, but I think he's a good fit within the offense nonetheless. They'll presumably train him to play right tackle, and we'll see how well he picks that up after serving as the left tackle for North Dakota State. Farley, if he's healthy, is going to be a boom. I know the concern there was two back surgeries. Some of the pre-draft process indicated some teams felt he may need additional procedures on his back, which is really scary. I think the one pick that jumps at me as like, I'm not sure how to go in that direction was Monty Rice at 92.
Yeah, it seemed early. I know that he's a big time leader. Like, Georgia, the program loves him for what he brings from an intangibles perspective. But, you know, I think this is definitely saying, we don't think we can get Brown and Evans back. We're not sure we want both of them back. This guy is going to have a year in the system, and we want him to start in 2022. Again, I think it's a little rich for him, especially in this year's linebacker class where we liked a lot of guys.
What an odd stretch of linebackers here at the end of the third round. We had him and Ernest Jones go in front of Baron Browning.
Imagine.
And Derek Browns was one of the first eight picks in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Who I think is a kind of a guy who's physically capable of doing it all. He's certainly much more dynamic than what Monty Rice is. And that's the concern that we had with Monty, right? Is it's like, you can see he's really smart. He's a leader. He's physical. But it's like, if you play him out in space, he didn't really have a second gear that we had a chance to see over the last probably 2 years, right? Like he's kind of popped on tape for a while, but you see him get into some of these foot races and he's trying to run guys down, and you just didn't really see a lot of pop or explosiveness on his tape. And, you know, maybe the end of the third round is kind of a sweet spot to get an early down guy if they felt like he can start and take early reps. And they certainly got versatility with Rashawn Evans there, who's still trying to live fully up to the expectations that came with being, I believe, the 22nd overall selection a couple of years ago. So that was kind of the one for me that raised an eyebrow, but the other picks are all logical and they make sense. And of course they do, because John Robinson's drafting for needs. And I thought he caught some good players at the spots that he picked them.
But for a team that does draft for need, it's known that's their philosophy. I really think outside of the Monty Rice pick, I thought it was good value for all the players.
Yes. Like
that's the only one where I would take exception with. And so I think overall it's a good class.
You got to be optimistic about it. Yeah. I guess the issue is you guys just lost so much this offseason that like your draft class was never going to be able to fill the void. And like, yeah, you signed Bud Dupree, but I guess my question is, and Bud Dupree coming off an injury, no less. Would that money have been better spent going to multiple guys to help bridge and fill more of the gaps that you lost? I don't know. I don't have a good answer to that.
We'll see, man. This is a roster in transition for a team with expectations. It's kind of weird. It's a weird spot to be.
They did do a really good job, I will say, of three of their first four picks were premium positions with two corners and the offensive tackle. And Molden, you know, playing in the nickel and being that third corner, I think he will do really well in that role.
So we thinking for this corner room, you have to think Christian Fulton has to start somewhere, right? Like
outside.
So they have Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, Jack Rabbit. No thanks. Kevin Johnson, Breon Broaders, Elijah Molden.
Johnson and Molden fighting it out to start in the slot.
I guess so. And then Farley and who's your other Fulton outside?
Yeah.
And Jenkins, you hope to not have to play, right?
Right. He's the third outside corner.
Yeah. Okay. You ready to rank these classes?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I'm just going to dump mine. Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indy, Houston.
Chris is very confused.
He never agrees with how I rank them. It's amazing.
Chris, please speak.
Just no love for what Jacksonville accomplished.
I do. I think I said what I had to say about Jacksonville. However, I think that stretch of picks at 25, 33, 45, 65, I don't know that would look anything like what I would have done. And I know that I'm not the end all be all, but in terms of my perception of what they accomplished, though, that stretch of picks bothered me.
Jacksonville's my one.
Really?
Pick Jack. Here's the thing.
Really?
Our rankings are not the be-all end-all. But this division brought in 13 of the TDN 100 players, and Jacksonville got six of them.
Again, that's because they picked 125, 33, 45, and 65. We keep rewarding teams because they had lots of picks.
But no, and so you're doing the reverse. You're punishing them for having a lot of picks. You've got
because they had a lot
direction.
Of picks and picked a running back in the first round, which is never smart. They picked a developmental corner at 33, who I don't know is going to help them this year. An offensive tackle in Walker Little that I wouldn't have touched in this draft. And Cisco is a complete gamble at 65. That can't be your you know, like the meat and potatoes of your draft class. We have doubt about every single one of those picks. And me think that you have the best class draft in the division.
Jacksonville had one extra pick in the top 100 than Tennessee did.
And I like what Tennessee did more.
Okay. I think Jacksonville got more good football players. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville at one. I'll go with Tennessee at two, Indianapolis at three, and Houston at four.
So we just had the first two different?
Yes. Don't penalize them. That's part of their rebuild process. That's how you get two ones and two twos.
The team that had the best offseason overall is Jacksonville, and it's not close in this division.
Which is good because they lost 15 straight to close the season last year.
Right. I had a bet for you. I want to see if you're going to take it.
Oh, okay. Cool. Let's do it.
I have to remind myself of where it is. I may have just lost it.
Wow. Geez.
Don't do this to me.
So while you find it, can I do some housekeeping?
Yeah, do some housekeeping.
I know that there has been some issue, and we should have done this at the top of the show.
Yes.
But there's been some issue lately with the podcast getting to iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Just to let everybody know, that is not an issue on our end. It's an issue on Apple's end. The podcast is being uploaded. It is getting to Spotify every day. It's getting to all the other podcasting platforms. There's a issue on Apple's end. So if you are looking for the podcast and it's not hitting your feeds, I don't know what episodes will hit the Apple feed, which episodes won't. It's kind of a hit or miss thing at the moment. So if you are looking for the podcast and it's not hitting your Apple feeds, it is getting to Spotify each and every day. It's also getting to all the other podcasting apps. So
literally everywhere else.
So just find an alternative here in the meantime, and we will keep you updated as we learn more about the situation. But I know there are some people like, no episodes last week. Nope, there were episodes. Just Spotify. Spotify is going to be your place to go to find the show if it does not hit your Apple feeds.
Or Odyssey or Podbean or you name
Google
it.
Pods.
Google Pod, everywhere other than Apple right now.
I got
Joe, did you find the bet? Yeah. All right, let's hear it.
All right. I don't know if you're going to take it or not. Jacksonville Jaguars, okay?
Jaguars. I think
we can both agree
Jaguars.
The leading rusher on the football team will be Travis Etienne.
Okay. Are you going to say Trevor Lawrence is the second leading rusher?
No. Between James Robinson and Carlos Hyde, who has the most rushing yards?
And Carlos has that history with Urban. I might take Carlos on that bet.
Okay, I was going to take Hyde as well, but I was going to be interested to see if you would take Robinson to have our second bet of the year. Chris is pissed. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. Chris, are you?
I had it typed up in our dude Slack channel where I'm keeping track of all of our bets. It was written up and everything.
Especially because we're keeping track of the bets, I'm not going to take one.
Yeah.
Just to bring up the liveliness of the show. We'll find discourse naturally as we go. We don't have to manufacture it.
No, if you were willing to take Robinson, I was willing to go Hyde. Do you want to take it, Shub? You want to take Robinson?
No.
Okay.
Smart man. You're all smart people for tuning into the Draft Dudes podcast, and we thank you for checking out this Monday episode. We have a live stream tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd kindly ask you to plan accordingly. If you are someone who listens to the show and you want a free jersey on a drawing last Thursday night, we would also kindly encourage you to reach out to us and hit us up and confirm that you are aware that you won, and that way we can get that processed. If not, by the end of the Monday live stream, we're going to do a redraw. But it's been a great draft process. It's great to be getting close to putting a bow on all these draft class recaps divisionally. And we have a great week planned for you, so make sure you hit subscribe on the pod, follow along. I'm Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino and Chris Schubert. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow.